Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. What a blessing that was. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. As we're getting back into our study and we started on angelology. We started with the creation of angels. And there's not a book in the Bible that is given to us to understand angelology, but there is much in the Bible concerning angels and the purpose that they have, and all through the Bible, Old Testament as well as New Testament. There's more references to angels in the New Testament than there are in the Old Testament. And we can't go back and repeat what we've already taught on the holy angels of God. But as I mentioned this morning, right before my heart surgery, I spoke and preached the first message on the fallen angels. And they can impact our lives. And it's not something that we need to be afraid of. It's not something that is so mystic that we can't understand it. The Bible gives us clear understanding as much as what we need to understand about a spiritual warfare that is taking place on planet Earth. There is a spiritual warfare. And the Bible reveals this. In the book of Revelation, we see God has given to us this insight into what took place in the beginning. And so if you would stand with me tonight, we're going to read verse 7 down to verse 12. Verse 7 down to verse 12. We need to make sure that what we understand and believe concerning angels, ministering spirits, it comes from the Word of God. We cannot rely on experiences. We cannot rely on philosophy. We have to look to the Bible and see what the Bible says takes place concerning the spiritual realm of things. And so here we look in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 7. The Bible says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels, his servants, the messengers that God had given to Michael, fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." That's what he does. "He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him," the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb." That's what we do today. The blood of Jesus Christ, amen, cleanses us of our sins. And through his blood, we can be saved, have his righteousness imputed in us, and have salvation. "And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Wow, let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you tonight, we thank you for the truths of your word. And Lord God, helping us to understand them by comparing Scripture with Scripture from the book of Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation. And I pray tonight, God, that you would help me to stay focused on what you would have me to present to the people tonight to be a help and a blessing to them. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The purpose for our study on angelology is to acknowledge and understand biblical truth concerning angels. Biblical truth concerning angels. Those that serve God, which are known as the holy angels of God, and those that serve Satan, which are known as the fallen angels, that was cast out with Satan and came to this earth, came to this dementia, this atmosphere that we live in today. Satan, as we understand that he was created, as was Michael. These would be, and Gabriel, these would be the archangels. And they were given servants, angels, spirits, ministering spirits to serve them and to help them accomplish whatever God had for them to accomplish. We don't have that in our script in the Bible, so it's not something that we have need to understand. We will know those things when we get to heaven, but God has revealed to us the things that we need to understand in our lifetime. So those things that impact our lives. But Satan wages war against man's desire to follow after and to serve God. He does not want anyone to get saved. Satan's primary purpose is to blind and deceive humanity into God's plan for salvation. To deceive and blind humanity to the person of Jesus Christ. And he's doing a good job of that. Has been for some 2,000 years now. As his desire is to blind and deceive, the Bible says here, who deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into, and his angels were cast out with him. So he has fallen angels who serve him. Satan is not omnipotent. He is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time in the fullness of his being. Our God can be. Amen. He is omnipotent. He is all in all the most powerful God of all. He's the only God. But he is omniscient. He knows all things. He can be everywhere at the same time in the fullness of his power. Satan cannot, because Satan was a created and is a created being. All angels were created by God as ministering spirits. The Bible teaches us that. We studied that when we studied the holy angels of God. They're ministering spirits. Fallen angels are referred to as devils or evil spirits. The idea of demons, and we would maybe even refer to a fallen angel as a demon today, but the Greek word for demon is devil in the English language. So you're not going to find demon in the Bible, but you will find devils or evil spirits, as that's how God describes them to us. So as we move on in our study here, as per Satan's will, fallen angels oppose and hinder God's servants and God's will for all humanity. God's will for all humanity is that everyone be saved. Not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance. Jesus died, God so loved the world, that's all humanity, that he gave his only begotten Son. Don't get caught up in this. Only a certain group of people can be saved or will be saved. Don't get caught up in this. If you're born to go to hell, you're going to go to hell. There's no such thing. We were born lost, but we had a God who loved us. We were the crown of creation. They were lost because of Satan's deception of Adam and Eve, who committed the sin, received a sin nature that has been passed down to every man and woman ever born with a sin nature. But Jesus came, died on Calvary's cross to pay our sin debt, to offer all humanity, any whosoever will, everlasting life. That's just Bible. That's what we have to focus on. Stop focusing on religion and stop focusing on philosophy. And just understand what the Bible teaches. It all comes together. And so with that, Satan is blinding the world to the salvation in the blood of Christ, only through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what he wants to do. If he loses that battle and you got saved, then he is going to work to render you useless for the cause of Christ so that you can accomplish what God has you here to accomplish in our lifetime. So per Satan's will, as we study the Bible, we know that he has come to deceive, and he is against that which God is for. He is our adversary. That means that he is in opposition to everything that God desires. So Ephesians in chapter 6. Let's study a couple verses here that reveals that he hinders God's servants and all humanity. Understanding that he is on the earth, the Bible says that, he has his demons or his fallen angels there to do his bidding on earth, then that helps us to understand, if that is the case, and we have the Holy Spirit of God on earth as well today, in this church age, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within the hearts of every saved individual and looking to convict the hearts of every lost individual. So with the Holy Spirit and the work that God is doing through Christianity and through his church, we have opposition, and the opposition is first and foremost spiritual opposition, which reveals to us that there is a spiritual war taking place on earth that has been taking place. And it will continue until the church is raptured out and there will be no more influence of Christ. The Holy Spirit will be gone. So we look here in Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 12. Here we find that Paul helps the church at Ephesus to realize this, and we have this for us to look to. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not our battle. That's not our fight. But against principalities, against powers, spiritual powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, which is obvious to us as you study the Bible, it's the devil and his fallen angels. They have powers against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So sometimes we get thinking it's all about whether you're Republican or Democrat. In the overall scheme of things, that's the last thing you really have to worry about. Not that it's not important, but if you get saved, you'll know which party to support. You're going to look at everything on earth, and you're going to make sure that you're supporting that which is closest to the Bible as you can. Amen. And anybody who stands, the one who stands closest to the things of God's word, that's who I'm going to support. But that's not the most important work taking place. The most important work taking place is take the blinders that Satan has off of humanity and getting souls saved around the world. Yeah. Satan is working around the world to blind people. There's more light in the United States of America than any other nation on planet Earth. It has been in this New Testament church age, or since the conception of, in the last 200 and some year, 50 years, as the United States of America, because God has worked through this United States of America to give an opportunity for the church to reach the world. America's always stood for religious freedoms, and that has provided other religions in this United States of America as well. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2. So, first of all here, we understand that there is a spiritual warfare, and Satan is the enemy and his fallen angels, and they oppose and hinder God's servants and God's will for all humanity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look down to verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. This is Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica, and he says, we have a desire to come and minister to you and help you. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. What's he saying? There's a spiritual battle going on. Now, he might have worked through the Romans. He might have worked through the Jews. But Paul acknowledged it. The enemy is the devil. And he was able to hinder us from coming to you. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Satan can hinder the work of Christ, the servants of Christ, and God's will for humanity. Fallen angels can do certain things. Fallen angels can afflict mankind, but only as God allows it. We find this in several passages of Scripture, but if you look in Luke in chapter 13, Luke in chapter 13. Verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. It just wasn't a physical disease. There's a difference between just a physical disease and a spirit of infirmity. When it calls a spirit of infirmity, that means that there is a demon that is causing this sickness. There is an evil spirit. There is a fallen angel. There is the devil himself is looking to afflict the flesh. A spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called to her to him, and said to her, woman, thou art loosed from thine iniquity and thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work in them, and in them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to the watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound? Not all sicknesses, not all infirmities are spiritual, but there are some that Satan binds, that is a spirit of infirmity. Lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bondage on the Sabbath day. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. 2 Timothy, Corinthians in chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, possibly one that is mostly very well known, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, serving God, had an affliction of the flesh. This is something the Bible reveals to us was something that Satan was able to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, and Paul says, lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. If God is going to let Satan have will and inflict the flesh of a saved man, then God has a purpose for whatever he would allow. We look back into the person of Job in the Old Testament, and we find that Satan had to get permission, but God had a purpose for Job's affliction and how Job would handle that, which would be a testimony for all believers for the rest of this world, for the rest of this lifetime. We learn that we don't turn our backs on God. We don't give up our faith. We continue to look to God for strength no matter what the affliction. Yeah. This is something else that these, as you study the Bible, that evil spirits can do that we need to be aware of. See, one of the things, if you get sick, it might just be the genetics. But one thing you want to do is ask the Lord to bind any kind of satanic spirit that would hinder your physical healing. Whether Satan had any part in my heart surgery or not, my heart problems, no doubt, it was genetics. The doctor said that to me, that no matter how I would have taken care of myself because of the genes of my family, my father, basically, that what happened to me was something that was just of the physical nature. But in the midst of that, I guarantee you, Satan tried to hinder me in my peace with God and my joy of the Lord. And I would ask God to strengthen me, and I ask God to bind Satan from hindering me in any way, that I might look to him and give him the praise and the honor and the glory for healing. Ask God to send his holy angels to minister to me. Yeah, praise. Nothing wrong with that, because that's what the Bible says that they're there to do. I don't try to contact that angel, whether it be an evil spirit or a holy angel of God. I look to God because they're his servants, ministering spirits. And the very same thing with the evil spirit. It's the devil. It's the devil who is the enemy, and he has evil spirits to use to hinder and to afflict. They can inspire wicked thoughts and purposes. They can't, Satan's not omniscient. That means, again, he doesn't know all things. He doesn't know how you're going to respond until after you have responded. And then he knows your weakness because you've showed it to him. And he knows more about you because of your past failures, your past, how you have responded to temptations and things. He doesn't know how you're going to respond, but he'll keep going until he finds a weak area. And then he'll try to use it against you. And the Bible says that's a sin that so easily besets us. He can give suggestions to the mind. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. We have to be aware that not every thought that comes to mind is coming from you. Sometimes the Holy Spirit of God wants to bring a thought to mind. He wants to bring a scripture to mind. He wants to bring a vow to your memory. He wants to have you to remember a commitment to God. The Holy Spirit of God can speak. His spirit can bear witness with your spirit. Satan, likewise, can put suggestions in our minds. Acts in chapter 5, Ananias. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now that was a temptation that they should not have yielded to, but there was a worse sin. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Not after he did it, now he's lying. And the Holy Spirit is convicting him to do right and tell the truth, and he lies about it. But Peter says, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? The suggestion, as per the scriptures, came from the devil. Came from Satan himself. Peter, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. This is powerful information that we need to have, amen? It really is. Sometimes in Baptist churches, they shy away from it because they're afraid of being marked as a charismatic or those that just look to the book of Acts. That was the apostolic age. There's no more signs and wonders. There's no speaking in tongues. We're living in the New Testament church age. We have the completion of the Word of God, and we had better learn from the Word of God concerning the things that we have to battle. And I guarantee you, we're in a spiritual battle. And if you don't learn how Satan's going to try to work against you and to keep you from knowing the things of God, you're going to fall to his ways, to his attacks. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And so we have to understand these things. Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. Jesus was trying to help the disciples to know what would take place, trying to help them to understand that it was God's will for him to go to the cross, there suffer and die, on the third day resurrect. Then Peter, verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Where did that thought come from? Jesus helps us to understand that. Then said Jesus, but he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Jesus identified Satan working on the mind of Peter and causing Peter to say what he had said to him as somewhat of a temptation to keep him from going to the cross. And in Jesus looking at Peter and acknowledged him as Satan, there's no doubt he was saying, "Peter, you have yielded to an evil spirit. You have yielded to a suggestion that is not of God." So the devil himself. We look back in our lives. If we had known that, I wonder how many times we would have said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and saved ourselves a lot of heartache and sinful activity. Yeah. It's real. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Probably the greatest victory that Satan had over one that had the greatest opportunities that's ever walked the face of the earth, as Judas Iscariot. Jesus chose him to give him opportunities to be saved, to follow the Lord, to serve him. But Judas never did get saved. He never looked at Jesus as being the Messiah. In John chapter 13 and verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Where did that come from? Satan himself. Judas listened to the wrong voice. He yielded to the suggestion and possibly somewhat connected to a temptation of 30 pieces of silver, which after he realized what he did was meaningless to him. He threw it away. Yeah. Evil spirits can inspire wicked thoughts and purposes. Book of Revelation, chapter 9, our text, or chapter 12, verse 11. We understand the reality of evil spirits. We understand who they are. It's actually the devils. It's actually Satan and his fallen angels that are able to do some of these things that we have revealed in the scriptures for New Testament church age. But he also said this in verse 11. And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Fallen angels, evil spirits, can be overcome. Satan can be overcome. Say, preacher, how do we overcome his influences? How do we overcome his afflictions? How do we overcome this war that he wages against Christianity? How do I overcome it? Well, James tells us it begins with understanding that it's real. And James says to us in chapter 4 and verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Look to God for his strength. Look to God for his wisdom. Look to God for truth. And when you know the truth of God and Satan tries to bring you a lie, and he tries to suggest something to you that you know is against the will of God, the ways of God, submit yourselves therefore to God and then resist the devil, because we all have to resist those temptations. We have to resist his presence. We have to resist those suggestions. He will flee from you. So, what does resisting look like? What do we have to do? First of all, submitting to God. What does that look like? I love that, because that's what Paul gave to the Ephesians, and God has preserved it for us, and we know about it in Ephesians in chapter 6, after he tells us about our spiritual battles and the warfare that we're engaged in. He also gives us and reminds us about an armor that we can put on. A spiritual armor that if I could look out there, I believe there would be a lot of people here sitting in the pews with this spiritual armor on. Yeah. It's spiritual. You can't see it with the naked eye, but you know you have it on. I love it. Put on the armor that God has provided, verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 6. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I love that. What is it? It's truth. No truth. Just have your fill your mind full of the Word of God. Truths concerning your life. Truths concerning your marriage. Truths concerning raising children. Truths concerning being in church. Truth concerning worshiping God. Truth concerning working. And whatever it is that you have to do, you have to fill your heart and your mind with the truth that God has given to us. Satan's a liar. He can't tell the truth. Don't be filled with the lies the devil wants you to believe. Truth, righteousness. We've preached on that this morning. Amen. To be right and to do right according to God. According to God's righteousness. The gospel of peace. Understanding that standing upon the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can have a peace of knowing that you have everlasting life. Faith. Faith to believe in God. Faith to believe in what God says. The Bible is a sword. Amen. It's an offensive weapon as well as a defensive weapon. Praise the Lord for it. The next thing we all need to do, if we're going to resist the influence, put on the armor of God. Stay in the light. Keep your house, your home in the light. Keep the church in the light. society needs to be kept in the light. We're going toward darkness, and that's why Satan is having more and more control and power in our society and taking morality in a far different direction than what God would ever want us to take any of that. Because we are allowing darkness to take over our society. Satan is powerful in the dark. You look at the third world nations that don't have the light of Christ, and you'll find a lot more demon possession. You'll find a lot more demonic activity. We have been spared that in America because of the light of the New Testament church. But we're letting the light go out. Yeah. 1 John chapter 1. Let me just read it to you. Almost done here, so stay with me here. In 1 John chapter 1. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If you allow darkness into your home, God's leaving. You want more of the presence of God in your home? Then stay in the light. Keep it lit up with the truths of God. Yeah. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood, that's how we overcome the devil, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, that music that teenager's listening to, as long as it's behind closed doors, those posters that they put up on their walls, as long as they keep it in their room, don't be so blinded. Parents, it's not only impacting their lives, but it is bringing darkness into your home. Keep the home in the light. Keep your children in the light. Stay away from darkness. Satan flourishes. Evil spirits will flourish in the darkness. Stay in the light. John chapter 3 and verse 16 is the most powerful verse in possibly all the Bible. But you go beyond that to verse 19, it's just as powerful. It says this: and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. In the light, your deeds are going to be reproved. Your sin is going to be made clear. You're going to see it for what it is. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. That's in the very same chapter that John 3:16. Amen. You know why Satan is getting the victory in our country and in our homes and our marriages and our families? Darkness. We're not staying in the light, because in the light we have the protection of God over Satan and any of his demonic angels. You put on the whole armor of God. Once you have on the armor of God, use it to stay in the light of God's word. If you do that, you can treat evil spirits as conquered enemy. You don't have to fear them. Romans in chapter 8, we're done. We're almost done. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. This is what you have in the light. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're going through a lot of battles. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, we're fighting this spiritual warfare. All these things, I mean, we're battling the devil and his enemies and his evil spirits. But nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, evil spirits, fallen angels, demons, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the light. That's where every born-again believer needs to stay, in the light. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We can have that if we stay in the light. Whew. All of us will battle darkness. Satan is the enemy. He has demonic fallen angels that do his bidding. Knowing that to be real, I want to make sure I stay in the light. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. They're real, but we can resist them. And not only resist them, we can conquer them. If you see Satan in the light, you see a serpent with his head crushed. You don't have to fear a snake that doesn't have a head. In the dark, he's the most powerful creature you'll ever come up against. In the light of God's word, Jesus Christ stepped on his head and crushed the serpent in the light. That's how we can view it. Where you at tonight? Taking advantage of the armor? Are you staying in the light? Are you overcoming the devil? Father, we love you. Thank you for opportunity to be in church tonight. And thank you for the truths that you reveal to us in your word concerning the battles, the spiritual battles that we each and every one face. And I pray, God, as we continue on in our Christian faith, as we have these battles, that we have the truths that you give us so that we do not have to fear, that we can see ourselves as more than conquerors. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.